Amen. I hope you are saved this morning. Greatest blessing ever in my life was that day I let go of my pride. Let go of the things I was holding on to and realized that if I died, I'd bust hell wide open. I need a Savior. Didn't deserve one. Didn't deserve what God did for me, but He loved me enough to do it for me. Loved me enough to go on Golgotha's hillside and died for a wretch like me. Loved me enough to save me. He loves you enough this morning to save you. No matter where you've been, what you've done, who you are, does not matter your social status, your skin color, financial status, it does not matter. The Bible said, for whosoever, amen, and I'm thankful for that this morning. I'm thankful that we had a God that loved us enough to save us. And the choir sang, I'll echo it again, what a day it'll be when all of us that are saved by the grace of God get to sit around the feet of Jesus. What a day that'll be. I'm looking forward to that day. I hope you are this morning. I would like to say it's a great honor, great joy to be here this morning and stand behind this pulpit. I thank you, Brother Brady, for the opportunity. Thank you, church, for praying for me, praying for Miss Katie. We need your prayers. Always need your prayers. And we do thank you for you that you've been praying. And I ask you again to pray for me this morning as I give you what the Lord's laid on my heart. If you have your Bibles, Genesis chapter number 12. Book of Genesis chapter number 12. Book of Genesis chapter number 12. Try to give you what the Lord's laid on my heart this morning. Try to be a help to you. Book of Genesis chapter number 12. I'd like to invite you when you found your place, if you can and are able, to stand for the reverence of the reading of God's Word. I will read quite a bit this morning. The reading of God's Word is important. And if you need to sit down while I'm reading, I don't blame you, but thank you for standing if you can. Genesis chapter number 12, verse number 1, the Bible says, Now the Lord had said unto Abram, Get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, into a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarah his wife, and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered, and the souls that they had gotten in Haran. And they went forth to go into the land of Canaan, and into the land of Canaan they came. And Abram passed through the land unto the place of Shechem, unto the plain of Moriah, and the Canaanite was then in the land. And the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, Unto thy seed will I give this land. And there built he an altar unto the Lord who appeared unto him. And he removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel and pitched a his tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abram journeyed, going on still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land. And Abram went down into Egypt to sojourn there, for the famine was grievous in the land. And it came to pass when he was come near to enter into Egypt that he said unto Sarah his wife, Behold now, I know that thou art a fair woman to look upon. Therefore it shall come to pass when the Egyptians shall see thee, that they shall say, This is his wife, and they will kill me, but they will save thee alive. Say, I pray thee, thou art my sister, that it may be well with me for thy sake, and my soul shall live because of thee. And it came to pass that when Abram was coming to Egypt, the Egyptians beheld the woman, that she was very fair. The princes of Pharaoh, also of Pharaoh, saw her and commanded her before Pharaoh. And the woman was taken into Pharaoh's house. And he entreated Abram well for her sake. And he had sheep and oxen and asses and men servants and maid servants and she asses and camels. And the Lord plagued Pharaoh and all his house with great plagues because of Sarah, Abram's wife. And Pharaoh called Abram and said, "What is this that thou hast done unto me? Why didst thou not tell me that she was thy wife? Why saidst thou, 'She is my sister,' so I might have taken her to me to wife? Now therefore, behold thy wife, take her and go thy way." And Pharaoh commanded his men concerning him, and they sent him away, and his wife, and all that he had. Let's go, Lord, in prayer. Father, we come before you as humble as you know how this morning, and Lord, we just thank you for another opportunity to come to your house this morning and worship you. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the sweet spirit we've already felt this morning. Lord, we thank you for the wonderful Sunday school hour and, Lord, the wonderful choir singing. Lord, we do thank you for that. But, Lord, as we've come to the most important time of the service, God, I pray you just move and do a great and mighty work this morning. God, I need your help. Lord, I pray you touch me. Lord, just give me power from on high, dear God. Allow me to preach in the unction, the power of the Holy Ghost, dear God. Lord, just give me remembrance of study, dear God. Lord, just give me clarity of mind. And Lord, I thank you. I'll thank you and praise you for it. Lord, we just ask you, Lord, to convict some heart here this morning. Lord, you know the need of the message. Lord, you know why it's laid upon my heart. And God, I pray, Lord, you just do that work that you need done here this morning. Lord, we don't want anything man-made. Lord, we don't want anything, Lord, that's not of you. No vain glory, nothing like that, God. We pray you would just do a work. Lord, we'll thank you and praise you for all that you do. For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you for standing for the reverence of the reading of God's Word. Amen. The book of Genesis, we know, is a great book of history. Tells us about the creation, as we've been studying about in Sunday school. Tells us about the great flood and many other great things. And I'm thankful that the Lord decided and allowed us to see all the things that happened. A lot of the things that happened in the Old Testament, whether they were good or whether they were bad. The fact of the matter is, people do make mistakes, and I'm thankful the Lord showed us those mistakes that we could learn from them and glean from them. This morning, for a few moments of time, I just want to deal with you on the man by the name of Abram. We know him better as Abraham, as God gave him the name Abraham. We find that a few chapters later. I just want to show you and preach to you for a few minutes on about not leaving the will of God during a time of famine. Not leaving the will of God during a time of famine. If you look with me in chapter number 12, we're first introduced to Abram. In chapter number 11, we find out who his father is. We find out who his brothers is, his nephew is. We find out about Abram in chapter number 11. And in chapter number 12, we start to read about him and the covenant that God made with him. And in verse number 1, the Bible says that, "Now the Lord had said to Abram, 'Get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house into a land that I will show thee. And I will make thee a great nation. I will bless thee and make thy name great. And thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee and curse him that curseth thee. And in thee shall all the families of the earth be blessed.'" We start out, we find that the Lord called Abraham to go unto Canaan. We know and realize that God had a promised land for the nation of Israel, for His people, His chosen people. And He makes that covenant with Abram here in chapter number 12 of the book of Genesis. Let me say this, I'm thankful that God's still keeping His covenant to this day. He still blesses them that bless the nation of Israel, and He still curses them that curse the nation of Israel. I'm thankful He's faithful to His promises. I'm thankful He's faithful to His people, and to this day He still is. He's never once gone back on His Word. Amen. If God says it, if it's wrote down in the Word of God, we can believe it, we can live by it, we can trust in it, because it's not going to change, and God's not going to change. And we see that God calls Abraham to go into the land of Canaan. He's going to use Abram as a great man of God. He's going to use Abram as the seed of a great nation and as the seed of a great people. God's going to do that, but before He can, He's got to get him to the land of Canaan. We know and realize, we read in the book of Acts, he started in Ur, where he was originally from, Mesopotamia. We see that back in the book of chapter number 11. He's back in Ur. And now when we come to chapter number 12, he's in Haran, probably about 600 miles away from Ur. The Bible says that in the book of Acts over there, chapter number 7, that God called him when he was still in Ur. Now he's in Haran. And so he's already traveled some way. And then from Haran, he's got to still travel to Canaan. He makes it up to Haran. His father's with him. And God speaks to him again. He says, "Get out of thy father's house, out of thy nation, and go into a land that I show thee." Now we read the Bible and we may think, well, that's no big deal for the Lord to tell Abram to do that. But you have to understand, and y'all just stay with me. I'm going to be a little slow this morning, but I'll try to help you. You have to understand that Abram, he has, as far as we know, has no compass, has no maps. He has no form of transportation other than his own 2 feet. Abram does not know where he's going. He's in a place where he has plenty to eat. He's in a beautiful place near the Euphrates River. I mean, he's in a wonderful place. And God tells him to leave everything he's ever known and just start walking. He says, "I'll lead you and I'll show you to that land." Now, let's be honest this morning. How many of us, if God told us to do that very thing, would just start take off walking? It's a difficult thing to do, no doubt, to follow the call of God. But nonetheless, God's got a will for each and every one of our lives. God's got a will for each and every one of us to do. If we're saved this morning, God's got a will for our life. If you're not saved this morning, it's God's will that you would be saved. And God's got a will for our life. He's got a plan for us to follow. He's got things for us to do. And we ought to do those things. We ought to follow the will of God. It should be our greatest desire as a child of God to be in the 100% will of God. It should really bother us if we're not, as children of God, in His perfect will. Let me say this. Following the will of God sometimes is not easy. Following the will of God sometimes, it does not make sense to you when God tells you what He needs you to do. Let me say this. You may say this morning, "Preacher, God's never told me to do anything. I have no idea about the will of God for my life." Open your Bible. God speaks through His Word. God will show you what He needs us to do through His Word. He'll speak to you through His Word. We need to open the Word. But nonetheless, the will of God sometimes is not an easy thing to do. Just as it wouldn't have been easy for Abram to get out of Ur and then out of Haran and began to walk towards Canaan not knowing where he was going. No doubt there would have been hard times. I mean, there was no McDonald's to stop at on the way. He had to walk through harsh weather, through hot weather, through cold weather. But nonetheless, God told him to do so, and so he did. Oh, how we need to have faith like this in that day and hour. How we need to have faith like Abram did. God tells us to do it, so we go. We don't know what it's going to be like on the way. We don't know how it's going to go. But we know God is faithful and God can, so we're just going to follow Him. Nonetheless, he goes. As I mentioned, it was probably from Ur to Haran, from Haran down to Canaan, down to around Bethel where he was at there, was probably some 600 miles in between each stop, best I can figure. So by this point, Abram has walked probably somewhere around 1,200 miles on his feet with his family to get to the land of Canaan. That's a long ways to walk, just following after God. That's a long ways to walk, one day after another, just following God. I mean, just getting up every morning and saying, God, I don't know where you're taking us. I don't know where we're going, but God, I believe you, and I'm just going to follow you. As I mentioned, this would have been a hard journey, but nonetheless, God has taken care of them. They say this. We see the call of Abram. Then we see a capable provider. The Lord has provided for Abram and Sarah and Lot as they've traveled on this journey, as they've walked through the deserts, as they walked through the mountains, as they crossed the rivers. God's provided for them. As I said, there was no McDonald's to stop at on the way. There was no Walmart, but nonetheless, God's fed them. God's taken care of them. God's provided for them all along the way till the time they get to Canaan. The Bible says in verse number 6, the Bible says that the Canaanite was in the land. The Canaanites were not a friendly people. They were not a nice people. We find that when we read over in the book of Joshua, the Canaanites, and in the book of Numbers, we find the Canaanites were not a nice people. No doubt, if they'd known that Abram was in the land with all his possessions, they would have killed him. But God's taken care of that. God's protected Abram. God's provided for Abram. God has brought Abram all this way. And he gets to where he's going, gets to Canaan. The Lord speaks to him. The Lord, the Bible says, the Lord appeared unto Abram and said, unto thy seed will I give this land. And there he built an altar to the Lord who appeared unto him. Goes on in verse number 8, the Bible says, and he removed from thence unto the mountain on the east of Bethel, and pitched his tent, having Bethel on the west, and Hai on the east. And there he built an altar unto the Lord, and called upon the name of the Lord. The Lord's provided for him. The Lord has brought him into this land, and then promised him this land. He's came to a time of great victory in his walk with God. You think about it. He's left his father's house. He's left everything he's ever known. Taken out on a journey where he did not know where he was going, just following after God. He's got to that land where God has showed them the journey's over. He's had to go as far as he's needed to. God's taken care of him. No doubt this was a time of victory. No doubt this was a time of celebration. No doubt this was a time of praise. And it would be for any of us. As you look back on your Christian life, on your Christian walk, you think about all those times where you followed after God and you've tried to walk with Him and you've got to the end. You think about the great time of victory was there. You think about the celebrations. You think about the praise. You think about how good God has been to you along this journey. Many times, Christian people have taken off after the will of God, not knowing what He was doing, and that's okay. Not knowing where God was leading, but God was leading them to go. They followed after Him. God provided, God protected. God's taken care of every single thing they ever needed. course, when you get to the end, you're going to have a time of celebration, a time of victory. And Abram has celebrated a great time of victory. No doubt he's built the altars just to praise God for a while. No doubt when he's built those altars, he just wanted to praise Him and thank Him for how good He's been. We've all had those times in our lives where, hey, we don't care about anything else. We just want to find an altar. We just want to get on our altar and just praise Him for a while because He's been so good to us. Yeah. And everybody in here that's ever served God, no doubt, I could raise their hand this morning and say, God's been good to me. God's been good to me. I know for a fact God's been good to me this morning. There's been times I didn't know how I was going to make it on this way. There's been times I had no clue what was going on. But no doubt He's provided. He's protected. And as I look back on the things of life, I can stand here this morning and say, God's been good to me. God was good to Abram. And He built an altar of praise. I want you to notice where He's built that altar. The Bible says in verse number 8, He removed from thence unto a mountain on the east of Bethel, having His tent, and pitched His tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east, where He built an altar to the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. He built His altar near Bethel, near Hai. Bethel being a picture and a type of the house of God. He built His tent, pitched His tent towards near Bethel. He built the altar near Bethel. He's in the will of God. He's exactly where He's supposed to be in verse number 8. God's told him, the Lord's appeared unto him, and He said, this is the land that I'm going to give to you. Your seed's going to inherit this land. This is what I'm going to give to you. He's in the perfect will of God. As I mentioned earlier, as a child of God, it should be our desire to be in the perfect will of God. It should be our desire and our duty and our heart should want to be exactly where God wants us to be. Let me give you a hint. That's near Bethel. That's near the house of God doing His work. That's surrounded by the house of God. If you're going to be in the perfect will of God, it's going to include the house of God. A lot of people say, well, I don't need church. I don't need the house of God. I don't need preaching to be in the will of God. They're wrong. God ordained the New Testament church. He ordained the local church. And I believe 100% by the Word of God, He wants you to be in the house of God. And if you're going to be in the will of God as a New Testament believer, as somebody born again, saved by the grace of God, if you're going to be in the will of God, it's going to be surrounded by the house of God. And Abram was in the will of God. Abram was exactly where he was supposed to be. Look with me in verse number 9. This is where I want to dig in this morning and try to help you. The Bible says, and Abram journeyed going still toward the south. And there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there. For the famine was grievous in the land. As I mentioned, he was in the will of God in verse number 8. Between verse number 8 and verse number 9, we see no mention of God, the Lord, speaking to Abram. He spoke to Abram and He said, Abram, this is where I want you to be. This is the land I'm going to give your seed. This is where I told you to go in verse number 7 and verse number 8. But when you come to verse number 9, the Bible says, Abram journeyed going still toward the south. Verse number 10 says, there was a famine in the land, and Abram went down to Egypt to sojourn there. I don't believe it was ever the will of God for him to leave Canaan, to leave near Bethel, to leave Bethel, to go down to Egypt. We know our Bibles this morning. We know that Bethel is a type and a picture of the house of God. We know that Egypt is a picture and a type of the world. So in essence, what Abram's done has left the house of God and went down to the world. God never told him to. We read in our Bible in verse number 10, the Bible says he went down to Egypt to sojourn there. What's that mean? It means he never planned on staying. He said, well, I'm just going to go down to Egypt just for a little while. There's a famine up here. When I go down to Egypt, I'll just stay a little while and I'll come right back. You think about this. Abram's left Ur, Mesopotamia. Went up the Euphrates River, up to Haran there. All places that the Lord has blessed. He's blessed the land of Canaan, no doubt. But you think about Ur and Mesopotamia and up in Haran, right there on the Euphrates River. Green places, wonderful places. A lot of agriculture and farming in those places. Plenty of food, plenty of crops, and plenty of substance to eat in those places. You just walk through the desert to get down to the Canaan. No doubt God's blessed Canaan, but at this time there was a famine in Canaan. And then he hears about Egypt down there on the Nile River. And he hears about all the farming and the crops and the substance down there to eat. He thinks about what he used to have. And he thinks about what's down there in Egypt and what he's having to deal with right now in the famine. He says, well, it'll be better just to go down to Egypt for a little while. It'll be better just to go down to Egypt for a little while. There's a famine in this land. Now let me say this. As I mentioned already, he's walked through the desert. God's provided for him. God's protected him. God's taken care of his family. No doubt time and time again as they've traveled some 1,200 miles, God's taken care of them, protected them, and led them right to where he wants them to be. Who's to say he won't take care of them through a famine? Who's to say he won't take care of them through a hard time in life? As I said earlier, no doubt there's not a one of us in here that can't raise our hand and say, God's been good to me. God's protected me. Provided for me. God's done a great work in my life. But no doubt each and every one of us are going to come to times in life when we're in a time of famine. We're in a hard time, a dry time, a time that it doesn't seem like we're going to make it through it. For a lot of us, that might be a spiritual famine. Hey, I don't believe for a minute I'm the only one that's ever been in those dry times in our spiritual walk with God. Where it seems like you ain't hearing from God. Where it seems like you come to the house of God and you can't get nothing. You know you're in the will of God. You know you're following God. But it just seems like times are dry. We may go through spiritual famines. We may go through financial famines in life. Ain't no doubt we've probably all been there. Don't know. We don't know how the bills are going to get paid. We don't know how, where the money's coming from. We don't know where the food's coming, the groceries are coming from. We've probably all been there a time or two. Maybe we'll go through a financial famine in life. Maybe we'll go through a famine in our home life. Maybe in our marriage we'll go through a famine. Ain't none of us perfect. No doubt a lot of times maybe our marriages go through a famine. Goes through some dry times between you and your spouse. Are all y'all looking at me like I'm crazy? Don't act like you and your wife and you and your husband don't go through some hard times. It's part of life. I love you, honey. Amen. And I have no doubt the day I said I do to her, I was in the perfect will of God. I have no doubt when I said I do that day, I was in the perfect will of God, saying, till death do us part. Amen goes right there. I have no doubt I was in the perfect will of God. But there are times in our marriage where we go through a famine, where it seems like we have a hard time with one another. We're all going to go through famines in life. We're all going to face different famines at different times. No doubt we're going to go through some hard times. And there's probably some times that you've been through, no doubt that I've been through, where we've gone through a famine and we've looked around and said, why, God, am I going through this famine? Hey, just because you go through, I'm here to tell, listen to me if you don't hear anything else this morning, hear this right now. Just because you're in the perfect will of God does not mean you will not go through famines in your life. Some of the hardest famines I've ever gone through in my life, some of the driest times I've ever gone through in my life, is where I could say without a shadow of a doubt, 100%, I was in the perfect will of God where I was at. I don't know why I had to go through the famine, but no doubt we had to go through them. No doubt there was famines even when we were in the will of God. There's going to be famines. There's going to be hard times. There's going to be dry times. There's going to be times, when the fields aren't green and the crops ain't abundant. There's going to be famines along the way. But I'm here to tell you this morning, just because there's a famine, it is not a reason and should not be a reason to walk out of the will of God. In my ministry, I've watched, unfortunately and sadly, I've watched a lot of people quit. In just a short time, I've been preaching, I've watched a lot of people give up and quit. And I found they did not quit when they were on the mountaintops. They did not quit when they were in those good years where everything was green, everything was flourishing. They did not quit when the bank account was perfect and their marriage was perfect and their relationship with God was perfect. But they quit in the time of famine. They quit in the time of famine. And just because maybe you're here this morning and going through a famine, maybe you're here this morning and you're in that dry time, just hold on. As I said, we serve a faithful provider. We serve a faithful protector. We serve a God that'll take care of your needs. Hey, it may not seem like He's here right now. It may not seem like He's provided right now, but just hold on. Just keep going back to the altar. Just keep going back to Bethel. And I promise you, if you just keep holding on after a while, the rains will come. They'll come back to green time. The famine will go away if you just hang on with God. Just because there's a famine right now, don't walk out of the will of God. Just because there's a famine, don't leave the house of God and go back to the world. I have no idea why in the world that we as saved people can come to the logical conclusion when we're in a famine that it would be better to leave the will of God and go to the world. I promise you the world don't care about you like God cares about you. God don't care about your hard times like God cares about your hard times. The world don't care about your hard times like God cares about your hard times. The world don't care about you and your family like God cares about you and your family. God cared more about Abram during his famine than Egypt ever would. But Abram made the clear decision. He made the conscious decision to go down to Egypt. He made the decision to leave the will of God to go down to Egypt. No doubt. As a man, that's what we have to remember. Abram was just flesh and blood like you and I are. He wasn't perfect. And no doubt in his mind, he thought, well, maybe if I just go down to Egypt for a little while, it's green enough. It's good enough that they have enough crops down there. I just go down there and wait a little while. I'll sojourn down in Egypt for a little bit, and my family will be taken care of. Our needs will be taken care of. Everything we'll need is down in Egypt. Hey, God already had everything He'd already need in Canaan. God could already provide all His needs, but in Abram's thinking, he no doubt thought, I'll just go down to Egypt for just a little while. My family will be taken care of down in Egypt. We'll be fed down. There's not a famine going on down in Egypt. Let me say this. The best times, the best in the world are still worse than the worst times in the will of God. The best this world has to offer. The best this world has to offer. Isn't worth trading the worst in the will of God. Ain't worth it. I could stand here and testify this morning. I've seen it firsthand. The best this world has to offer ain't as good as the worst that times we'll ever face in the will of God. I've watched many people. I know I'm being slow this morning. I'm just trying to help you. Just trying to do what God's given me to do. I've watched people in my ministry. I've watched good men. Great men I looked up to, getting through the famine, and say, well, if I just go to the world for a while, I'll come back to the house of God. Everything will be okay. Watch families in dry spiritual times. Say, I'll go down there to that worldly crowd. They've got a show going. They've got emotionalism going on down there. They've got the light shows and the smoke shows, and they've got the rock. They look like they've got something going on down there. And I mean, yeah, we know God moves at the house of God. Yeah, we know God moves at Pleasant Grove. It's been a dry time here lately. I'm not saying it has. God's been good here while I've been here. I mean, God's blessed me. But no doubt each and every one of us go through some dry times. And I've watched plenty of people say they're going through dry times. They'll go down there to the world to try to find something a little better. Walk out of the will of God. A lot of people in a time of financial famine say, well, if I'll just work. And I understand you've got to work. Sometimes things won't allow it, but they'll say, well, maybe I can just take that extra shift on Wednesday night. Take that extra shift on Sunday morning, Sunday night. If you work, I ain't got nothing against you. Make sure the house of God's the most important thing, though. Make sure the house of God comes first. I don't have time to run that rabbit, but maybe financial famine comes. They'll say, well, it won't hurt if I just miss a Wednesday here, a Sunday here. Before you know it, watched a lot of famines in marriages. Like I said, we all have them. If you don't, you pray for the rest of us. And I've watched a lot of good men, not a lot of them, but I've seen some good men go through financial famine, good women go through a famine in their marriage. Before you know, there's somebody else that can make them smile a little bit. Maybe somebody else that is nice to them a little bit. Before you know it, they'll walk out of their marriage never to return because of a famine. Don't leave the will of God during a famine. Stay faithful to God. He will provide. He will protect. He will take care of you if you'll just stay put in His will. Let me go on before I preach too long this morning. Abram walked out of the will of God. No doubt he thought it was the right thing to do. No doubt he thought it was the smart decision in his flesh to make for him and his family. But we find out on the journey as he leaves Canaan and begins to walk down to Egypt. And now this had to take some time. From Canaan to Egypt, best I can figure, probably some 600 more miles. He had a lot of time to think about what he was doing. A lot of time to say, well, maybe this ain't the right thing to do. Maybe it was smarter to stay in the will of God. Maybe we'll just turn around and go back to Canaan. Had a lot of time to do it. And the further he got away from Canaan and the closer he got to Egypt, the more scared he got. I don't know the correct terminology there. I about said scareder, but it might be a little redneck. I don't know. But he began to realize as he got closer to the world, he had made the wrong decision. I can promise you this morning, when you're in the will of God going through a famine and you look out on the world, the devil will paint a real pretty picture. This world will paint a really green grass. They'll make everything look perfect, everything look great. But as a child of God, the further you get away from the will of God and closer to the world, the scarier things get. He began to realize the decision he made was not the right decision for his family. And they got closer. He began to realize that going down to Egypt wasn't the right thing to do. Think about it, he quit caring about his family. He quit caring about Sarah and her safety and began caring about himself. Only cared about what he wanted to do, his own protection. As I mentioned, when they were back in Canaan, the Canaanite was in the land, wanted to kill every single one of them. But God protected them. God provided for them. God's taking care of them. And as they get closer to the world, as they walk out of the will of God, Abram realizes that, hey, I'm out of the will of God. Hey, I probably need to protect myself. Quits caring about Sarah. Quits caring about Lot. Quits caring about the ones around him and only worries about himself. You say, how do you know that, preacher? Because when he got down there, it's in your Bible right there. When he got down there, he began to say to Sarah, he said, Sarah, you're a pretty woman. Sarah, you're a beautiful woman. And if we go down here to Egypt and they see you and they find out you're my wife, they're going to kill me so they can have you. So he tells Sarah. No doubt she was beautiful. The Bible clearly clears us that. He was right about that. And he thought he needed to protect himself. He told him, he said, Sarah, when we get down here, you lie to them. You tell them that you're my sister, not my wife, and they'll save me for thy sake. So when they get down there, let me say this, he's only worried about himself at this point. Mamas and daddies, you may not believe it, but I've seen it time and time again. The further you get away from the will of God, the less you quit caring about everybody else around you. The further you get out of the will of God, the less you'll quit caring about your spouse, about your children, about what's important for them, and you'll just start caring about yourself. You say, "Preacher, I'd never do that." Without the grace of God, there ain't no telling what any of us would do.
Right.
You walk out of the will of God, there ain't no telling what you're going to do. I watched a man. I'm trying to wrap this thing up, but I watched a man I looked up to this day. I still see his family out and about, and I still see him every now and again. I watched a man who was in the will of God. No doubt I knew he was saved without a shadow of a doubt to this day. I've talked to him. He said he was still saved, just walked out of the will of God. I watched him walk out of the will of God. I ain't going to go into great detail, but he quit caring about his wife. Quit caring about his children. When he started to walk out of the will of God, he said what he was doing was to better his family. If you look at it from a worldly perspective, it probably was from their perspective. From God's perspective, what he was doing was wrong, was sinful, was out of the will of God, was illegal, and God wouldn't honor it. Ripped his home to shreds. Ripped his home to shreds. He had a beautiful wife at the time. He had 3 beautiful children. And I watched it tear their home apart. I watched it tear him apart from the inside out because he walked out of the will of God. A man that was in the perfect will of God. A man I looked up to. I watched it rip his home apart. That's been about 9 years ago. And he's come back. He's gotten on an altar and asked God to forgive him. And the homes got back together. But till this day, I watched his wife get on an altar not even 6 months ago and bawl her eyes out because to this day, it's still bringing pain to their home. You walk out of the will of God. You may think it's best for what's best for your family, but I promise you, the closer you get to the world, the more you realize it's just going to bring harm. It's just going to be destruction. And that's what Abram did. When Abram walked out of the will of God and went down to Canaan, he was about to bring harm to his family, to his relationships. And like I said, I'm trying to wrap this up, so I ain't going to be too much longer. But you read down through the Word of God and what the Word of God says. He was right. Sarah was beautiful. He was right. The men saw her and wanted to be with her. Pharaoh's servants went and got her and brought her to Pharaoh's house. The Bible says that Pharaoh was going to take her to wife. We know, as people that have studied our Bibles and understand what the Bible says, we know what that means. Pharaoh was taking her to be his wife. Let me say this. I'm going to give you a few quick things and I'll be done. Abram. The Bible says while he was down there in Egypt, he gained a few cattle, he gained a few asses, he gained a few servants, he gained a little bit while he was down there in Egypt. This world's got a lot to offer you. I'm just being 100% clear and honest. I'm giving you what the Bible says this morning. This world's got a lot to offer our flesh. It's got a lot to offer our flesh, the desires of this flesh, but it's got very little to offer spiritual things. It's got very little to offer our homes. It's got very little to offer our churches. Last time I checked, this world has absolutely nothing to offer our church, the house of God, our churches. You say, well, they might. No. God called us to be different from the world. God told us to be holy, to serve Him and worship Him in spirit and truth. This world has very little to offer anything spiritual. spiritual, anything for our homes. But it's got a whole lot to offer our flesh and the desires of this flesh. And when you look out in the world, if you're thinking about walking out of the will of God this morning, this world's showing you a lot of things. It's showing you financial things that look really good. Maybe it's showing you an extra paycheck. Maybe it's showing you, some more money. And you're thinking, well, right now I'm in a financial famine. Hey, just trust God to provide for you. That money this world's got to offer you won't mean nothing to you if you're out of the will of God. As I've mentioned earlier, Pharaoh took Sarah to take him the wife. So here's the situation that's going on. Abram's got a few more cows. He's got a few more servants. He's got a few more donkeys. But he's got a pillow his head every single night while they're in Egypt with his wife Sarah up in Pharaoh's house being defiled by the world. I don't know about you this morning, but I'd rather be able to lay down my head at night beside my wife and not have 2 cents to rub together than have everything this world has to offer and not have my family together. The day and hour we live in, everything's about how much money you can make. And I hope God blesses you, I really do. As Brother Chris, I believe it was, the missionary, came a few Sundays ago, I'd like to try to be rich. He said, I agree with him. But I'd rather not have 2 nickels to rub together and my family be separated and destroyed. I'd rather have absolutely nothing than to have everything and watch my family, my wife, my children being defiled by the world. Amen. Their mind being defiled. Right. Our marriage being defiled. I'd rather have absolutely nothing than have everything and have a home that's destroyed. Abram may have gained something that his flesh liked when he walked out of the will of God. But there was hurt brought to his home. There was pain brought to his home. I believe if we could get Abraham up here this morning and ask him about that time he left the will of God during famine and went down to Egypt, he'd be the first to tell you he wished he would have stayed in Canaan. He wished he would have stayed in the will of God. Why? Because when you leave the will of God, listen to me this morning. I know I've been a little slow. I know I've been a little long, but listen to me right now. You walk out of the will of God this morning. You walk out of where God's got you. Whether it's spiritually, whether you walk out of the will of God in your home, maybe in your job you walk out of the will of God, wherever it might be, you walk out of the will of God, it's going to bring pain. It's going to bring hurt. It's going to bring destruction. I've watched it time and time again. A good home that was in the will of God, the house of God. Left the house of God. Now their home's in shambles and wrecked. The best place you and I can be as a child of God is in the will of God. The best place you and I can be as a child of God is at the house of God. You may be going through a famine right now. You may be going through a famine right now and you're thinking about quitting on God. Hey, I've been there. There's times it gets hard. There's times it gets lonely. There's times maybe there's a little pain along the way. I encourage you this morning, just go back to that altar where you were in a time of victory and just praise Him a little bit more. Just ask Him for a little bit of help to get through the famine, because He's a provider. He's a protector. He can be with you. He said He'd never leave you nor forsake you. He promised you He'd always be there for you. But if you walk out of the will of God, listen to me, hear me and hear me well. You walk out of the will of God this morning, there's going to be pain. You walk out of the will of God, He's not going to be there to provide for you. But walk out of the will of God during a famine, we'll say this and I'll be done. The Bible talks about the Lord, for Sarah's sake, bringing plagues to Pharaoh's house to get her out of that mess. And He did. Pharaoh got plumb mad at Abram. Said, "Why have you brought this home to me by lying to me?" And he sent him out of Egypt. Said, "You don't come back here." He said, even the world knows it's wrong for a child of God to be out of the will of God. Amen. But we see in the Bible that Abram went down, went back to Canaan. He left Egypt and went back to Canaan. Went back to that place he built the altar. He went back and he built another altar. We find in verse chapter number 13, he went back and built another altar. Let me say this. You may be here this morning and you're out of the will of God. You walked out in a time of famine. You realize that you're out of the will of God. You realize you're in a place you're not supposed to be. You've seen that there's pain. You've seen that there's hurt. Maybe you've come back this way this morning just to come back and try to get back right with God. Just come back to the altars. Get things right with God on an altar. He'll take you back. He still loves you. He can still, He will still hold you and love you. But you got to get back to Him. Got to get back to that altar. Abram left the will of God. Left Bethel. Went down to the land of Egypt. There was consequences for the choice he made. Maybe you're here this morning, you're thinking about walking out of the will of God. You're in a time of famine. Just hold on. Just hold on a little longer. Help is on the way. God will provide for you. God will send the rain again. I promise you, just hold on. Just hold on. Hold fast in the famine and God will take care of you. You walk out of the famine this morning, it's only going to bring... You walk out of the will of God this morning, go down to Egypt, it's only going to bring hurt and pain to your family. Amen. I've watched it time and time again. Don't think you can walk out of the will of God this morning and get away with it. Don't think you can leave the will of God and go to the world as one of His children and get away with it. You won't. There ain't been a one get away with it yet, and you won't be the first. Just hold on. Maybe you've walked out of the will of God. This morning, I'm done. Maybe you've walked out of the will of God this morning. And you've realized it's bring hurt and it's brought pain. And you're ready to go back to God. Just come and get on an altar. Just come and get on an altar. Go back to that place where you've celebrated victory before. Take care of things with God. Don't walk out during a time of famine. Brother Brady, you come on.